Radio.
Hello and welcome to CryptoCurrent, the only podcast to bring you beginner and advanced knowledge of cryptocurrency and blockchain, analyses of cryptocurrency markets, and discussions on growing a business within the crypto space. Stay tuned and stay CryptoCurrent.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to another episode of CryptoCurrent. Your host here, Richard Carthon. And we have another special treat for you. Today, I have the pleasure of speaking to someone that has had quite the entrepreneurial journey, first of all, and just what he is doing in the cryptocurrency and blockchain space. I think it's something that people should be paying attention to. And I'm very excited to just have this conversation today with our guest, Mr. Mario. Thank you so much for Mario Nafal, thank you so much for being with us today.
Yeah, no problem at all. I like how you tried to avoid my last name. I'm like, man, it looks difficult. And then you thought twice, you're like, I'm going to try saying it. And you said it right. It's Mario Nafal.
Yes. Well, glad I got a first win of the day. But hey, man, would love to just get a little bit more information about who you are, a little bit about your background. Can you give us a little bit more information on that?
Sure. So I'll keep the focus on crypto, but I started business when I was 22. So about 6 years ago now, I'm 29 now. 7 years ago, I got into entrepreneurship. I dropped out of uni, launched my first business, and it went really well from the beginning. So bootstrapped to 7 figures in the first year, 8 figures by the second, and then expanded to over 30 countries. That was in e-commerce. And then since then, I've expanded to other industries. I've started working with startups. And in late 2017, I launched IBC, which is one of the largest players in the space, in the crypto space. I'm working with ICOs, STOs, recently a lot of IEOs, and who knows what else is next, and private placement for clients, and then expanded to other businesses in the space, being a partner at a law firm in crypto and founded a VC fund. So that's my involvement in the blockchain space at the moment.
So a lot of different irons on the fire, a lot of entrepreneurial experience, just working in a lot of different industries. And you have a very interesting story on how you got in there. But again, today we're focusing on the crypto and blockchain side of it. So how did you get into cryptocurrency and blockchain? What year was it? How'd you hear about it? And what made you get curious and like, this is a space I want to be in?
Now, I don't have one of those cool stories, you know, I bought Bitcoin when it was 2 cents, so any of those stories. I've been watching Bitcoin for a very long time before getting into the space. And I was just fascinated, but I didn't know how to be involved. And I was just too busy with my other businesses. And then late 2017, I think I was in Slovenia, I was spending some time in Slovenia and Europe, and I noticed the opportunity. So as an entrepreneur, as a business person, timing is everything for me. Any business I launch, it's about getting in at the right time. And it seemed like the right time for getting into the crypto space. I did not even know about initial coin offerings. I just liked the industry as a whole. And as I got into it, started, first thing I did, so it's a good good guide for anyone wanting to get into a new industry. I'm doing the same now in cannabis. First step, before anything else, just started networking like crazy. I would wake up, my assistant would book me like 10 meetings for the day or more, 10, 15 calls. And I'll be all day for hours just walking around Slovenia in the city center. I like always walking while speaking. I'm walking right now in the apartment. So I'm walking around the city center for hours doing 30, 40,000 steps and just speaking to different people in the space, asking questions, picking different people's brain. And then when you speak to a lot of people, what happens is you start to spot the people that are as excited as you and they're really keen to collaborate, and then you click on a personal level. And I started building the network that way and asking a lot of questions and learning as much as I can, reading a lot. I bought a few courses as well online and launched IBC.
And around what time, what year is this?
Late 2017 is when it started. Technically, IBC started generating revenue in 2017 in December would probably be the first their first paid invoice. So that's when revenue started coming in. So yeah, that was when IBC was launched. And then IBI, it was about early 2018, I'd say. And IBL, the law firm, was very recent, so late 2018.
Gotcha. So with IBC, which is the International Blockchain Consulting, what made you want to either put it together, and what's been your involvement with getting it off the ground, and what are the kind of clientele and people that you work with in that space?
Sure. So the first question is, what got me into IBC?
Correct.
Look, I came into the space without knowing where I can contribute the most, where I can bring the most value. And the reason I say bring the most value is not to sound cheesy, because that's how you make money. People pay for value. You do something, they like it, they pay you. And I came into the space, I did not know what value I can bring. So how can I contribute in a from a business sense? Not contribute because I just want to, I'm a philanthropist. I wanted to actually make money as an entrepreneur. And to do that, you have to bring value. But I did not know how. And then as you start speaking to clients, you start realizing the pain points. And back then, it was just a crazy hype for ICOs. And then we started getting all these projects wanting to launch an ICO. I'm a marketing guy. I love marketing. So that's one thing we could do for them. And then the one of the key people that I started working with from the early stages was all into tech. And the third guy had a lot of connections in the fundraising space. And then I expanded my network even beyond that. So ICOs was the first thing we started doing. And that was for most of 2018. And then early 2018, we started doing more private placements, so helping projects raise capital privately. Now, you might ask, why would you do that when there's so much money in ICOs? You could close six-figure invoices in days. It was just insane.
That was going to be a question of like, why did you make that pivot, or what was the purpose?
Look, I was lucky enough to have been in business beforehand, and I've did banking and finance at university. I was really obsessed in stock trading. And one thing you learn in that space in stock trading is that hypes never last, never. And when things seem too good to be true, they probably are. And that's when you should be fearful, when everyone's greedy. And vice versa. So during that hype, I saw the greed, I saw the markets, and when everyone would give me an explanation why this is going to last, or why the markets will continue to go up, there was no logic. And I'm thankful to have learned all that early on, and learned from all these smart people like Buffett and Munger and all these guys from the traditional space, that I knew that this is not going to last. And I knew that if we did not get into private placement, so VCs and funds as offering that service to clients during the hype, as well as getting into enterprise, which is just a nightmare, we would not survive when there's blood in the waters, because the ICO hype will come down crashing. And also from a legal perspective, every lawyer I speak to says to me, Mario, this is the Wild West, which means only one thing: the hype will not last. But I wanted IBC to last, and I didn't want to break the law like some of these other guys that are facing scrutiny right now. And I'm sure you could look them up. 2 weeks ago, VanBex, I'm mentioning names because it's public now. VanBex, to my surprise, the founders had their assets frozen, I think by the SEC or the Fed or whoever else. I didn't want to end up like that or get a subpoena. So we didn't break any laws, do everything the right way without even taking any risk, but hedging against the potential downturn. The only way was offering new services. And fundraising is something that we were specializing in. We're not specializing in ICOs. We specialize in helping startups and businesses raise capital. So more broad. Right. That means when the ICO hype dies, we're still there. And that's why we still do private placement till today. We're still standing today as an agency, despite the bear market. And we're leading the way with the new hype that you probably saw my videos about, it called initial exchange offerings.
Yes. And actually, that's a really excellent segue into one of my next questions, which is, you know, this is kind of a new uncharted territory for most people. And even people in the space haven't really heard a lot about IEOs. People are kind of getting familiar with what STOs are, but IEOs and STOs are still newish on this forefront. So can you kind of speak to that and how you're getting involved and what are ways that people can find entry points if this is something that makes sense for their own businesses?
So I won't talk too much about STOs because everyone knows security token offerings now. But in brief, it's a regulated way to raise capital. And there has been a few STOs raising capital. But in terms of listing on an exchange, there isn't liquidity there. And that's why the STOs haven't caught on yet. But IEOs is what's gaining all the attention and where all the hype is. And when people ask me what's the difference between IEOs and ICOs, I say it's very little. It's a very small difference, but a very important one. And the people that call IEOs ICO 2.0, that's a fair enough statement because they are very similar. So an initial exchange offering, which has existed for a while, but it's only caught on now because of Binance, but there's been a few done well before Binance, and our team has done them before Binance as well. So they've been around for a long time. It's essentially an ICO being listed, so being led by the exchange. So as a project, as a startup, if you want to do an IEO, what you would do is you'd find an exchange that will accept to take on your project, list it to their users, let's say about 10 or 20% of your tokens, that'll take all of them. They list it to their users, they do the KYC, they accept the funds, and they take over the entire process. So that's where Ethereum is, instead of doing it on Ethereum and anyone could launch an ICO, mm-hmm. Now it's only the ones that are accepted by the exchange. The exchange themselves will launch the token.
Gotcha.
To their own users. So they solve one major problem for projects, and that's what makes it really exciting, is they give immediate liquidity. So with an ICO, you sell the tokens, but then what? Then you have to try and you pay a lot of money to get listed on an exchange. Now, after an IEO, the exchange is already, it's immediately listed on there. So the liquidity is there and people can start trading it. So that's one problem they solve. Another thing that improves with an IEO over an ICO is that the KYC is done by an exchange. How is that different to an ICO doing it themselves? Well, the exchange, at least medium to large exchanges, have a lot more to lose than one project that's raising money. The exchange is also a lot, it's just an easier target for regulators, which means they have more to lose and they're easier to take action against if they don't do proper KYC. If they accept American investors to a utility token, which is what IEOs are, the utility tokens, mm-hmm. If they accept American investors, they're an easy target for the SEC, and they're screwed. I'm just thinking of Binance now because they're an easy example, or Huobi. So yeah, that's another thing that exchanges do. It's that KYC, they offer liquidity. But a very important step is that they vet the project. And they've got an incentive, and incentives are extremely powerful in business. They've got an incentive to make sure they only accept good projects because they don't want their users to get screwed. The exchanges have a long-term view of the industry. They make most of the money from their users, not from projects, as some like to believe, even though they might charge hundreds of thousands of dollars for a project to list an IEO on their exchange. They make their money, then the millions of dollars from the users trading the tokens. Remember that. So that means their incentive is to protect their users, to choose quality projects. And that's why we're doing so well. It's not only because we bring quality projects, but because we back those projects. After they raise money, my company, IBC, would continue working on the project that we, you know, our client, we continue working with them with that, to use that money to build the product. And that's what the exchange wants to see. So the users are investing in quality projects. So that's what makes IEOs stand out. That does not mean you're not going to get some small no-name exchange misleading a project saying, hey, we'll do an IEO for you, and the project will not realize that this is a crappy exchange with fake volumes that will take their money and they'll pump out as many IEOs as possible that will fail. And they'll try to make as much money as they can before the word comes out that, hey, their projects are not raising money. they don't have real users, and they scam or they trick a lot of projects. That will happen. Regulations are not, you know, the industry is still not regulated or well regulated, and not all exchanges have a long-term view of their business, where they want to succeed 5-10 years down the line and not just make money over the next 1 to 3 months. So that's an explanation of what IEOs are, the pros and the cons of initial exchange offerings.
Gotcha. And thank you for painting the full picture for all the listeners today, as it's another way that people can be injected. And I think it will help with making sure that another 2018 speculation bubble that you kind of touched on earlier, you know, doesn't happen. You touched on the scams and everything else that kind of happened in the ICOs and everything else, with people are in it for the short game. They don't really care about the end product or even trying to build something. I mean, even going back to, you know, 2017 to 2018, when you have, you know, a couple of coins that are available, then you jump up to 1800 all of a sudden, and only, you know, 100 plus of them actually have a working product. It's a bubble. It's you're not building anything that is actually trying to create something of worth and of value. And so these IEOs, sounds like, because it's going strictly through the exchange and can be traded immediately, there's definitely that incentive for longevity and for making sure that what's being put on there is higher quality than potentially some of these ICOs who then have the ICO and then still have that struggle of finding an exchange to get on. So definitely see how all of those gaps are kind of being bridged with this new way of being able to put on.
You would say that the gambling, the liquidity option, that these tokens have immediate liquidity, if anything, that will just increase the amount of investors that can just gamble with those tokens. So the liquidity aspect is great for the projects, but not that great for the long-term growth of the industry. Because a lot of these Asian investors that are leading the IEO craze just want to gamble. So you'll definitely have ups and downs. You'll have hype. You'll have bubbles. But it's all about the projects. And that's what our focus is. Remember, during the ICO hype, even though it's a bloodbath, I tell investors all the time, the VCs I speak to and the funds, it was a bloodbath, but there's products that were being built and projects still working throughout the bear market and are still working today. And they've got great products that have launched or are about to launch. So during the ICO hype, with all the scams, the bloodbath afterwards, with the crash, there's still projects being built. And it's going to be exactly the same with IEOs, probably less scams and less crappy projects launching and raising money. But there's still going to be a similar hype as the ICO craze, by the looks of it. I don't know how long it will last. It will crash. Projects will go out of business, even though exchanges are trying to vet projects. They're going to be projects that will fail. That's basic business, even in the traditional space. Startups fail, 90-something percent fail. So projects will fail, but it's about those ones that, those golden nuggets that do last. And everyone keeps trying to find the next Amazon. So the Amazon of crypto, the business that will get through the bear market, keep building their product, and 10 years from now, be a billion-dollar business.
No doubt. And you bring up a really good metaphor and one that I kind of go back to as well of, you know, this is a new frontier of technology. Of course, when the dot-com came out and there's a dot-com bubble, all these entities that came out, a lot of them raised a lot of money, made a lot of stuff initially, and then they all didn't survive. But the ones that did, the Googles, the Amazons, they've made a lot of money. So you don't know which one it's going to be, but whatever one it is, it's going to be so worth it. And so it's important to constantly be educating yourself on different opportunities, different ways to be part of the game, and seeing how you can actualize some of the value that's being put into this market. And on that same kind of thought path, I typically ask a lot of my people who come on, like, what is an interesting project that is going on in the space that has your curiosity?
There's just a lot out there. And I've always resisted from naming projects because two reasons. First, it's just impossible to know which ones will do well. But more importantly, I've been contacted by other projects that say, hey, you know, why didn't you mention us? So I've avoided mentioning projects as such. But what I have done is just reminded anyone looking at the space of one important thing and referring to something that will bring them a lot of value. A TED speech that I always recommend for any startup. What's more important than the team? So when you're looking at a project, like you've asked me now, what project do I recommend? I always follow this. And the speech talks about five different factors that lead to business, to a startup success. And there were, you know, the timing, the product, the how much money they raised, the business plan, and the team. Now, you hear a lot about building a great product, you know, Apple, focusing on it, on building the perfect product. You hear a lot about the team, especially in the crypto space. We look for a great team, the best team. They're very important. And of course, funding. Every business wants to raise as much money as possible. Or having a great business plan. But the most important thing for any business, whether my company that I'm launching or a client we're working with, is timing. Is it really the right time now? Is the technology ready for the Uber of crypto, or the Uber on blockchain? It's way too early for that. We're working on the protocols right now. So whenever we look at a project, whether it's the VC fund that I founded, or clients we choose to work with, or help them raise capital through an IEO, we look at their product. Is it really the right time for this product? Is it too early to launch it? Or is now the right time? And then once this is done, we look at the team, we look at the product, and then we see how much money they need to raise. So that's probably this TED speech is the basis for the way I look at any project on a personal level, if I'm looking at investing, or any of my companies to work with.
Awesome. Yeah, I mean... You hit a lot of valuable points in there. And one of the biggest takeaways, as you said, was timing. Timing is everything. Timing is important. And it needs to be able to align with what you're doing. Will people be able to receive it and use it and everything else with that? So I think that is extremely valuable and something for everyone listening to consider. And for one more time, can you tell us the title of that TED Talk?
Bill Gross and then TED. And then you should be able to get it. He's only got one TED speech. TED speech, Bill Gross. Let me see if it comes up. GROSS. Always recommend. Yeah, it is. And the title is The Single Biggest Reason Why Startups, I'm guessing it says fail after that.
Gotcha.
Why Startups Succeed.
Okay.
Yeah, Bill Gross TED, you'll get it. He did it in 2015. I'm going to listen to it again now. It's 7 minutes. I haven't heard it for a few months.
Amazing. I'm actually going to, when we get off this call, I'll go listen to it as well. But
it's good, man. If you're looking at launching a new business, just watch that speech. It shows you that, you know, if Consensus started late 2018, it would not be Consensus right now. But Consensus, they are who they are before a great team, before everything, is because they launched at the right time. IBC, we are who we are, not because we have a great team, not because I'm a great entrepreneur. They do help. All those things help. The team that I have that built the business, it helps. But it's because we came in at the right time, which was late 2017, not late 2018.
Right. Absolutely. And a lot of good points. But man, Mario, you've given us a lot to think about today. You've given a lot of great information and you know, learning about the IEOs and everything else that's going on in the space and different things to even thinking about entrepreneurship in the space of blockchain and in cryptocurrency. But what is like a final thought that you want to make sure everyone leaves here today with?
Final thought. Look, since we're talking about IEOs and this is a crypto podcast, and people may hear this later on, I don't know, they'll probably hear it now, but if you listen to this in the future, I don't want to be one of those people that says, hey, ICOs are the next big thing in early 2018, and then they come down crashing, or make one of those predictions that ends up to be bullshit a few months later. I'll tell you just facts without being binary. IEOs will probably have a hype. They're a great fundraising mechanism. Will they come down crashing, or will they raise hundreds of millions or hundreds of billions of dollars along the way and continue thriving throughout 2020? We do not know. Just look at the market right now. Make decisions based on where things are right now, because you can never predict the future, whether it's the price of Bitcoin, when the hype will end. No one can predict. It's just gambling. So just look at how things are right now and make decisions on where you're at now, because no one knows what will happen next.
Absolutely. And I think that's a really good final thought to leave on, and be present. And of course, always be planning for the future, but make sure what you're doing right now is serving you and serving where you're trying to
grow. It's hard. Yeah. Look, everyone says plan for the future. It's actually, human mind is not designed for that, funny enough. You know, business plan and all that. It's just hard to plan for the future. And when you say plan for the future, don't predict the future, but right, plan in terms of be ready for the worst. So you never know what will happen. And just have some cash in the bank. Don't put all your eggs in one basket and risk everything. Because for every Elon Musk that risks everything, there's another thousands of people just as smart, just as capable that failed. So just don't take that risk. Always be prepared, especially in crypto. It's crazy in crypto.
Yeah, very volatile. But again, thank you for all these thoughts and a lot of thought-provoking conversation today. And I think you're going to give our listeners a lot to digest, but also be able to act on as well. So Mario, I really appreciate you spending some time with us today. And what are some different ways that people can connect with you and your businesses that you have going on?
Sure. For the businesses, just go on my website, marionorful.com. Whether it's crypto or non-crypto, it's all there. Mario Norful. Norful is N for Nelly, A, W for Whiskey, F for Fred, A, L for Larry. And then you'll see all my companies there. To contact me, LinkedIn has been really good. I've just been spending more time on there. And it's probably the best way. So just message me on LinkedIn.
That sounds perfect. Well, again, we have Mario Norful with IBC, which is the International Blockchain Consulting. Thank you for spending time with us today. Everyone, stay cryptocurrent.
Hi, everyone. Thanks for listening to another episode of Cryptocurrent. For more information on this episode and all of our episodes, please visit us at www.crypto-current.co. Stay up to date with the latest news in cryptocurrency by signing up for our newsletter. You will receive a daily email Monday through Sunday that is personalized and curated content specific to you and your interest, powered by artificial intelligence. Are you an accredited investor looking to invest in cryptocurrency? Crescent City Capital can help. Go to crescentcitycapital.com for more information. Hello, everyone. I hope you're enjoying the quality of this podcast. I can only thank my amazing producer, Andrew DeRitter with DeRitter Productions, who has put this together. If you have any podcast, visual, or video needs, please go to DeRitterProductions.com. That's DeRitter Productions.com.
This has been another episode of Cryptocurrent, bringing you one step closer to becoming a crypto and blockchain aficionado. We look forward to giving you the latest in crypto news and analyses next week. Stay cryptocurrent.
Please use available exits now.